The following programming is sponsored by the Museum of Sports. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Philadelphia Phillies welcome you to Citizens Bank Park.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports. First ball game with your folks, to maybe taking your own kids to their first game, or maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph. It's the feeling we all get. That brings us back to our own personal Philly Field of Dreams. And the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel. Our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all right here in Philadelphia. Museum of Sports show is live on Talk 860 and the Museum of Sports Facebook pages. So check us out. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the Depache Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Well, joining me from his sports cave in Villanova, he is our guide and mentor. He's Comcast Spectacor legend, blah, 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 founder of the Museum of Sports and author of the new book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia, and I claim America's greatest showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld.
Oops. Yeah, that's me. And you left out one thing I would like you to add in the future. Founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey franchise. On the last living,
I need to
if you call this living.
You buried the lead because I got all this stuff from you.
Yeah, I know. What the hell? I just thought of that. I saw it listed the other day somewhere. Founding vice president. That sounds like I should be rich, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of good looking. Yeah.
I've been to your house. I know what you have.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's my wife. You know, she's
Susan is off this week. Coming up today, he knows what tourists want when they come to Philadelphia. It's sports. And that means huge, huge money. Jim Corrado is going to be joining us in a little bit. And what's hot and what's not in the sports memorabilia market with our own king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection in the universe. Nick DiPaccia Jr. will be here at 4:40. But up first, he has been known as the voice of Veterans Stadium, the voice of the Link, and the voice of Citizens Bank Park, as well as a play-by-play guy for the Drexel men's basketball team. But that voice was suddenly silenced back during the pandemic as he battled and beat cancer. Well, now he is back and badder than ever. And I see he is on mute. I don't know what that little symbol means in Zoom. But now it looks like he may be calling over on the other side, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, a big Museum of Sports show. Welcome to Philly Sports Hall of Famer, Mr. Dan Baker. Dan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I think you need to unmute, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know if you're on your phone there, Dan, you can just hit the unmute on the phone screen.
Yeah, not sure how that works.
Yeah, we saw you there. We saw your video there momentarily.
Yeah, looked good, too.
Yeah, real good.
But anyway, Dan, I was going to ask Dan, I was going to throw a name at him, Matt Gukas Sr.
Why do I know that name?
Well, Matt Gukas Jr. played for the Warriors.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I guess one of the Philadelphia College teams, LaSalle, was it? But anyway, Matt Gukas Sr. Did the Eagles games for years. He was the PA announcer back in the 50s and 60s. Before Dan started. Now, you know, Dan was up to 49 years, I think, with the Eagles. And then the 50th year, they, for some reason, felt needed to replace him with somebody else. So,
but yeah, 1972, Philly's PA announcer. I apparently, you know, and this is the danger. And once Dan unmutes, he can dispute me, much like Ray Diddy did last week with his couple of things, pretty much everything from his Wikipedia page. That I guess Dan and had tied the record for consecutive games as an announcer at 103 or 104. I'm not sure. But that was pretty stout there. And I know, Lou, you were responsible for the hiring of Lou Nolan down at the Spectrum. What is it that, and you, his sort of audition with you guys was kind of a weird little scenario there, but was there a certain timbre or sound of the voice you needed, or you needed somebody who was going to cut through the din of all the drunks in a venue?
Well, he had a good voice and he was fearless. He told the union people building the third level at the Spectrum to turn the darn crane off so I could have my interview here, my tryout. And as the story goes, I didn't listen to him for more than 20 seconds. I said, "You're hired." And he said, "Is that it?" And I said, "If you could perform under these conditions, you're hired, pal." 50 years later, huh? How about that?
That's pretty damn good. And but had it not been for that, you know, I mean, I guess really nobody had really been through the PA announcers auditioning for the Spectrum because it was essentially a new entity.
Yeah, well, most people don't know that Gene Hart was one of our first PA announcers.
Yep.
And he would actually try to explain hockey to people. Instead of him just saying icing, he would explain what icing is. Yeah. And people, I could see people in the stands going, oh, we thought it was something that was on a butterscotch crimpet.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And I actually like when you get, if you're watching a sport that maybe you're a casual fan of and you don't watch all the pre and post game stuff, that people actually take a moment to do a definition of terms. So they're not just, you know, nattering away machine gun pace with all of this jargon. And occasionally they will pause and go, well, now, of course, what that means, or whoever the MC is. And let me pause you right there for just a quick background, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then for those of us who might be casual fans, you know, maybe for curling or for, you know, handball, any of those sports that you can sit back and you've got someone to explain to. So having a PA announcer that will do that or any sports host or any news anchor.
Yeah. Dan, we see you loud and clear, but you need to unmute.
Yeah, make sure you hit your little unmute thing down your lower left box there in your Zoom.
There you go. All righty.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
We saw you before.
There was an issue with my laptop. Usually the link is in blue and I can just click on it. And for some reason, it's all in black. Anyway, hopefully we're here.
You're there. Yeah, we saw you the first time. Then you went away and we thought we'd done something to upset you. And like, I didn't say anything.
No. Nothing could be further from the truth.
So Dan, I gave you a little intro. I don't know if you could hear, but you know, just mentioned, you know, you've been the voice of the Vet, the Link, Citizens Bank Park. You've been the play-by-play guy for Drexel men's basketball, but your voice suddenly went silent there for a little over a year as you sort of battled and beat cancer, and you are now back and badder than ever. And so a big welcome to another Philly Sports Hall of Famer. That would be you. And
thank you. I was
noting Lou, that you started with the Phillies as the PA announcer back in 1972. So that's 50 years now. And many folks may not have known that I want to make sure, because Ray Diddy caught me on some of his Wikipedia stuff last week, that you have tied the record for most consecutive games as a PA announcer. Is that right? At 104, 103, something like that?
Gee, I don't know about that. I'm unfamiliar.
I just made it up.
Yeah, what does that mean? I saw that in the script, but 104 what?
I think it was 104 consecutive 104 consecutive seasons or something like that. And I don't know if that meant
Eagles games, different
sports, different venues, you know. And that would make sense if you're looking two sports a year for 50 plus years. I'm not good at math. Dan,
hey, Dan, how does a guy get into public press announcing? Is that something you always wanted to do, or it came about by accident?
Well, when I was growing up, I was a pretty good athlete, but not nearly good enough, although I dreamt of playing professionally someday. And then I began to think of alternatives. Having enjoyed going to Phillies games at Connie Mack Stadium and Philadelphia Warriors games at the old Convention Hall and Big Five basketball games at the Palestra and Eagles games at Franklin Field, I thought, wow, I wonder if there's anything that I could do to attend these games on a regular basis. And I thought, even though I wasn't a good enough athlete to play professionally, I think I had a pretty good understanding and knowledge of the games. I was certainly a big fan. I think I was always a pretty good talker, thanks to my mom and dad. who were sticklers for elocution. So I could
love that. And that is a lost art.
Oh, thank you. So then it was an idea of how could I get there? I wrote to the Phillies and Eagles, and of course there were no openings. There was always, you know, I would get a polite response, but they had people in place, and eventually I started doing statistics. I did things on the side. I kept statistics for other announcers or spotted for other announcers, and was pretty good at networking and meeting people and learning from people. I worked with a lot of the visiting football play-by-play announcers in the NFL. And through them, I met others, and, you know, one thing led to another. And I started my last 2 years of college. I did a radio show for WFPG in Atlantic City that I'm sure Lou would be familiar with. It was on the boardwalk, it was CBS.
Yeah.
And it was just a little thing. But it again enabled me to meet others, and one thing led to another. Pat Cassidy, director of stadium operation for the Phillies, alerted me that there might be a change in PA announcers. Would that be anything in which I would have interest? And I said, oh my goodness, I'd give my right arm. And so he said, well, I think I can get you an interview with Bill Giles. And he gave me his card. He said, give me a call next week and I'll see if I can help you. So I called him. He said, I got you an interview. And so in the fall of 1972, following that baseball season, I interviewed with Bill Giles, and thankfully the interview went well and Bill hired me for the baseball season, which started in April of 1972.
And who did you replace?
I replaced Art Wolf.
Art Wolf, oh man. Art Wolf, there's the name.
KYW News Radio.
Yep. And how about at the Eagles? Matt Duke Sr., you replaced him?
Yeah, Matt was my, and Matt had retired.
Oh.
And, I had told the Eagles, I kept statistics and spotted for a lot of visiting announcers and home announcers. I even spotted many times on the network telecast with Pat Summerall and yes. Tom Brookshire.
My favorite team right there.
Oh, I'm glad. And I would fill in occasionally on the press box PA. And I told Jim Gallagher, if you guys remember Jim, the longtime PR director for the Eagles.
Jimmy Gallagher. You know,
yeah, if you ever make a change, I'd have an interest. I don't for a moment suggest replacing Matt Dukas Sr., for whom I had the greatest respect. Matt was getting up there in age, and if he did retire, I told him I would like to be considered. And eventually that's what happened. The fact that I was working in the same venue, Veterans Stadium, for the Phillies, the Eagles were familiar with my work and were kind enough to contact me when Matt did retire following the 84 season. So I began as Eagles PA announcer, and I see that number 60 there, Lou, behind you.
Yes. Concrete Charlie.
Oh man, what a great player he was.
Yeah. And nothing like him. They don't make him like that anymore, literally.
Oh man.
Hey, Dan, I got to ask you, you mentioned Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire, and I loved them, you know, when I was a kid, and I used to watch This Week in Pro Football. It was done by NFL Films out, and I guess, I don't know if they were in Cherry Hill at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would watch it. I grew up in Connecticut. I watched it on WOR, which it ran on all the independent channels, it seems. Who was your, were they sort of your favorite network team there? Or you mentioned you kind of met with and kind of learned from a lot of them. Who was your favorite play-by-play and color guy?
Well, I was a big fan of Bill Campbell.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, while I grew to admire him greatly, at first I wasn't a big Harry Callis fan.
I wasn't either. Right.
And really, it had more to do with the fact that he was replacing Bill, not that Harry wasn't very talented. And of course, he was just tremendous and won us all over, wouldn't you say, Lou? Harry was just so good, and I admired him very, very much, and learned a lot from watching him. And one of the guys that I spotted for many times was Jay Randolph of St. Louis, and Jay did network golf and football, and he did St. Louis Cardinal football and baseball, and Jack Buck, I met through Jay. And I worked with Dick Enberg, when Dick was doing the Rams, Los Angeles Rams. And those were some of my favorites. Of course, here in Philadelphia, I admired Dave Zinkoff, public address announcer extraordinaire for the Philadelphia Warriors, Philadelphia 76ers, Harlem Globetrotters.
What is it, Dan? What is it? And Lou and I were talking about this before the show, a couple of elements. I guess the acoustics of some of these arenas and stadiums can be a challenge to a PA announcer. And is the key, aside from just, having wonderful elocution and knowing what to say and when and intoning it the right way, can acoustics of a ballpark, particularly back in the old days where they just put speakers out there and didn't have noise canceling, didn't design them acoustically, what effect does that have on, whether a PA announcer succeeds or doesn't?
Well, I guess it could. I think I've been fortunate to have good sound systems, in the venues in which I announced. There's something special about the sound in, some of the arenas and stadiums that we grew up in. And of course, modern technology is so much better. Sound systems are much better. We're fortunate to have that. And if you can learn to use it well, I think it can enhance the way you sound, and perhaps embellish what you're doing.
Are you going to be working tomorrow night?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, how exciting is that?
Excellent, excellent.
Oh, postseason play. I mean, I've been lucky enough with the Phillies to announce many postseason games. My first postseason game was 1976. I've announced Phillies postseason games in 76, 77, 78, 80, 81, 83, 93, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. And finally, after a 10-year absence, we're back here in 2022.
Do you find, and have you, we certainly hear our legendary play-by-play guys, Harry and Merrill, and others will get caught up in these intense moments, whether it's a crucial win or a crucial play or a crucial championship or a series or a Super Bowl. Have you ever caught yourself getting emotionally caught up in the announce, or do you have to kind of be just even?
Well, I get caught up in it. When that microphone's off,
you're going nuts.
You can hear I'm a real fan. I think I've been lucky enough to always gather myself to come across professionally when I have an announcement to make. I never forget for a moment that that's what allows me to be in that position, and don't want to do a disservice to the fans by being too fan-like on the microphone and, you know, yelling or screaming to the point of being not being understood.
Just another drunk in the stadium. That was the other point I made with Lou. I said, sometimes as a PA announcer, you've got to be able to talk over the drunken din.
Yeah. Dan, before you go, would you give us an introduction of one of your favorite players?
Now batting for the Phillies, number 26, second baseman Chase Utley.
God bless you, man.
Bravo.
You're a gem. Phillies lucky to have you. We love you.
Thank you.
But Dan, I got to tell you, someone may have lobbied on your behalf, but you know, there's the Merrill cam and there was the Harry cam. Has there ever been a Dan cam in the booth with you where we can see you going nuts in between these voice of God moments?
No, not so much. I mean, every once in a while for a special occasion, like, you know, 50 years or a special game, they might, get a little video, but they don't put it in there and leave it on in hopes of capturing some exciting moment.
If you're doing backflips, though, I do want to see that. I would like to see that. Well, the voice
I
of
would
every
too.
Yeah. Well, the voice of every stadium in Philadelphia, in recorded history and Sports Hall of Famer, Dan Baker, thanks so much for being on the Museum of Sport show. And you look great, you sound great, and can't wait to hear you tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. Best of luck, guys.
Thanks,
you got a
Dan.
Great thing going there.
You
Thank
too.
Thank you, man. Hey, we want to make sure our viewers and listeners go to themuseumofsports.org to make a tax-deductible donation, or better yet, buy a copy of Lou's new book about his time at the Spectrum with the Flyers, and a portion of the proceeds benefits the Museum of Sports, and you can be a part of Philly Sports Shrine today. When we come back, he's known by many things. One of them is Ringo. Ringo says that sports mean big tourism bucks for Philadelphia. I'll explain when the Museum of Sports show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live, back in a couple of minutes.
The Museum of Sports show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Manayunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked.
Live and Museum of Sports Facebook page, brought to you by the DePachi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. Susan's off this week. If you were wondering what that clip was of what sounds like the Beatles doing Boys, that is actually a tribute band, which our next guest, as soon as he pops into the Zoom window, has been a longtime member. And in my tease, I said he was Ringo, and he portrays Ringo in the tribute band called The Beatles. It's B-E-A, new word, T-E-L-S. And I wanted to pull up a couple of little things here to take a peek at, because they are sort of an intriguing group, as our most tribute bands. And but our next guest also is a guy who knows a little thing about what brings tourists to Philadelphia. He spent years figuring out what tourists want when they come to the city as head of the Independence Visitors Center. And sports is key among all the attractions. And he was also the city's director of commerce for City of Philadelphia. So as soon as he is heading into the box, we will have him in here. Mr. Jim Corrado is going to be joining us. But I think until he gets here, Lou, we can have a little bit of fun at his expense. How do I do this here? I'm going to pop that up. And we're going to this share screen stuff. I need a technician here. So there we go. So you can see him right there. He's back in the very back there. And the other, I wish I did not write down the names of the other guys, but he actually, when they put those little Beatles wigs on, and it depends on what era of Beatlemania you're talking about, they're pretty darn good. And so at any rate, but Jim, when Jim is not down in, I guess, Dewey Beach or playing a gig in Atlantic City with the Beatles, he is, I think that's them too. I want to make sure I'm not putting up like Beatlemania. There's their little logo. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, Jim has had all sorts of positions, with a, eye toward, how do we beef up, industry, sports, tourism, how do we get folks to, when they, A, to come here, B, to spend a lot of money. And when they leave, they want to come back. And they also tell all of their friends what a great place Philadelphia is. And he spent some time as, I think, the director of commerce with the City of Philadelphia under the John Street administration, if memory serves me correctly. And I guess the last 13 plus years as CEO of the Independence Visitors Center. And I've done many events there, both as a guest and as a host. And they once they get a hold of you, when you go in those doors, it's like a spider's web, and they don't let you out till they've told you everything that you need to do while you are here. Some of it in walking distance from Independence Mall, some of it down in the sports complex, some of it in the various neighborhoods and restaurant districts. And so I want to I'm going to unshare the screen here so he can't see that we've been talking about him behind his back. Oh, there he is. Oh, thank goodness. Hiya, Jim. Yeah, we were wondering where you were. Make sure you unmute your mic there, lower left in your Zoom box there.
There we go. Hi, guys.
So while we were vamping, we were having a little fun at your expense there, Jim. And I have to read you my intro for you. You know, you spent years figuring out what tourists want when they come to Philadelphia as CEO of the Independence Visitors Center. Sports being a key component of that whole equation. I'm sure you work with Larry Needles and all those other folks who, you know, are so sports centric. You were director of commerce, City of Philadelphia, in the street administration. Was that right? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make sure we all said hi to the man who also impersonates Ringo Starr in his spare time, Mr. Jim Corrado. Now, hiya, Jim.
Hey. Hi, Doug.
I feel like I let the wind out of my own sails here.
So, what are you wearing, folks? Jim, what are you wearing?
This is my 2008 National League champion.
Oh, very nice.
2008 National League champion shirt. I'm already ready for tomorrow. Counting the hours.
That's exciting.
Great exciting time to be in the city. Great it time is. To be in Philly.
That means a lot to you, doesn't it? Phillies, Eagles, and the Sixers about to kick off. And the Flyers, you know, hopefully they'll have a young, exciting team and start making it back. But sports, and even the union, sports is so important to the city, isn't it, Jim?
It really is. It really is. The popularity of sports in this town and really all across the country is just over the moon right now. And we, you know, we see it every day at the visitor center.
And what is it? You've got it. You really just have to sort of salivate anytime, like going into the run in the 2008 Phillies season or the Donovan McNabb, you know, run up to the Super Bowl in the early 2000s or the Super Bowl win in the 2017-2018 season. I mean, what does that do for you when you've got to sit there and kind of work with your convention and visitors bureau, you know, Larry Needles Group, PHL Sports? How does that simplify the equation, or does it make it more complex?
No, it sort of lifts everyone's spirits. It's a wonderful boost to the psyche of the city, to the morale of the city. Everybody has it seems to be in a better mood. And it also really, I remember going through this, you mentioned Doug back in the Donovan McNabb era, back in that Super Bowl era way back. Yeah. This is going back to the very early 2000s. It's also an amazing boost to the local and regional economy, which we're very grateful for. Larry Needles, a good friend, a longtime friend, and we work very closely with them, Convention and Visitors Bureau and Visit Philadelphia. I would say I could tell you what we see in the visitor center, and it's sort of a microcosm of what's happening around the city. We're seeing more and more people each year who travel from visiting cities when their team is playing in Philadelphia.
That's what Lou was saying that in pre-show. Is that amazing? An anomaly?
You have to see it to believe it. I mean, the baseball example that immediately jumps to the top of my mind is the Dodgers. Oh my goodness, when the Dodgers are in town for a weekend series, it's just people just come in and it's great because they come in and there's a lot of good natured joking and it's great fun. But it's bringing people into the city and they're staying at our hotels and they're you know, they're spending money at our restaurants and our attractions. So it really does you know, it really does just boost the economy. The other interesting aspect that we're seeing lately, and I just noticed this earlier this season, the Eagles played Minnesota, the Vikings. So, you know, we got our share of purple jerseys into the building that weekend. And again, we were teasing folks about how Minnesota just can't seem to come in here and win. And it was the amazing thing was how many Eagles jerseys we saw that weekend.
Yes.
Right. So after we saw like the first few dozen, I just said, I have to figure out what's going on here. So we started talking to people. And it's amazing because the appeal of the Eagles is really not just local or regional. It's across the state. We talk to people from Lancaster, from the middle of the state, from New Jersey, from the Mid-Atlantic region. They just they're Eagles fans, and they just come here and they stay for the weekend. So no question that sports is having a major impact on this city in a very positive way.
I know you guys salivate when out of town fans come here, but Eagles fans travel really well in all of the away games so far this season. I've been stunned at the crowd sound level and the number of green in those audiences. And I know those cities, well, I know we salivate over, you know, the out of town teams when they come here. My question is, do the out of town markets, do they salivate when all these Philadelphia fans come to town?
They
don't know if there's that same equation there.
They sweat in fear.
It's well,
dollars are dollars. Dollars are dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lou's probably correct on that. I mean, I know our folks are spending money, but we have very enthusiastic sports fans here.
Well, the coach Sirianni said in his post-game remarks last week that he was amazed how many Philadelphia Eagles fans came to Arizona. Yeah. And he said after the game, he went out of his way to thank as many personally as he could. He said they have to get on a plane and fly 5 hours back to Philadelphia. It's not like they're going up to the Meadowlands. He said, he said, I'm amazed. I just love it.
Yeah, and you may have seen the same thing at SoFi later in the day when Dallas played the Rams. It sounded like a Dallas home game. Same situation. So people are more mobile. Fans are more mobile, and it's great for tourism.
Jim, you must have been depressed during the pandemic when things came to a halt. I mean, that's your whole life, and all of a sudden, nobody's even leaving their house, let alone coming to Philadelphia. And that had to be a rough time for you.
Yeah, it really was. We were shut down for a number of months, and it presented a number of struggles for us. We had to survive. At the visitor center down in Independence Mall, we're a nonprofit corporation. We manage the building, and we live for visitors. That's what we're there for. And obviously when we were closed, we had no visitors. And then even as we reopened with restrictions, it was very, very limited. We're starting to come back. We're not there yet by any stretch. But there is a good positive feeling that we're on our way back now. And hopefully the coming months will be back where we were pre-pandemic.
Well, playoffs have to be a whole different attraction because the stakes are much higher. People are intense. But also, in addition to the visitors, the fans, you get the media that you don't normally get. You get these huge amounts of press. And the deeper you go, the more they come. And you got the TV crews and you got the midweek interviews. Yep. And these people have to stay in hotels. They have to eat in our restaurants. They have to go to our stores. And that's got to be wonderful.
It really is. And the impact on the economy, Lou, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, the hotels are filled, the restaurants are filled, people are out and about. We get a lot of people who, again, just will come in for a couple of extra days, never been to Philadelphia, want to come in and see my Atlanta Braves play this weekend. I'll come in a day early and take in the sights and visit the great museums.
Right. Do they want to come back? We see all those videos on YouTube of out of town, fans down at the Link or Citizens Bank Park and the opposing team's jersey. And, sometimes it's cordial, sometimes it's not. And then some of the bigger events get tossed in the hoosegow. We had the Eagles jail at the vet there with the judge a few years back. Do you find people want to come back to sporting events, that want to come back to Philly, or is it a one and done kind of prospect? How does that work?
Yeah, it's interesting. We talk to a lot. We talk to everybody that comes in. We, especially when we can tell, when they come in with the out of town jersey, it's kind of like there's a lot of good natured kidding, but we like to talk to them and just get a sense for, how much do they know about the city? Is it their first time here? What are their impressions so far? And I have to tell you, and I say this in all honesty, we get such a positive reaction from people who will say, never realized what a beautiful city you have. They're amazed by the history. They're amazed by the great restaurants and the attractions. That is the number one characteristic, I would say. And, we always encourage them, you're here for a day or two to see your team, please come back. And, hopefully they will, but that is without a doubt the number one reaction we get. But
whatever you guys have been doing has had a ripple effect because you've got FIFA coming up in a few years. You've got another MLB All-Star game and the semi quincentennial? Why?
You got that. Yes.
I could barely say sesquicentennial.
Jim, what's the number one question they ask?
If it's not number one, it's in the top three, is the cheesesteak question.
Right. I was going to ask that.
It really is. And we get it asked a number of different ways. So we'll get, where are Pat's and Gino's? Because those are the two that get the most publicity.
Right. My favorite was Jim's, but that's gone for the time being.
I'm with you, Doug. That was also my favorite.
Yeah.
We'll get, where are Pat's and Gino's? Where's the best? Where's the closest? And then what's your personal favorite? I like to ask our folks, like, okay, where do you go for your cheesesteak?
How about the Rocky statue? They ask you about that?
Also top three, Lou. Top three. Unbelievable. It's been, I think we're coming up on, is it possible we're coming up on 50 years?
Yeah.
You cannot believe the appeal of the statue. Right. Running up the steps and the whole Rocky underdog persona. It's we send more people to the art museum. I mean, yeah. People just, they know about it. A lot of people just want to know how to get there. We're going to take advantage of that by later this year. We're going to open a little satellite visitor center right at the foot of the art museum steps because so many people go there. And we want to get them right there.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, does anybody, now that Rocky statue is certainly part of Philadelphia's Mount Rushmore. Does anybody ask you about another part of Philly's Mount Rushmore, this man right there? Does anybody ever ask you about that man?
To whom are we referring here?
We've got a certain group called the Beatles. We ran a clip of you guys off the top. You were still clicking your way in there.
Okay.
We gave a little background on the Beatles.
Okay. I have a lifelong Beatles fan and started playing the drums when I was 12. I actually taught myself how to play. So a professional might look at me and say his technique is not correct, but I enjoy it immensely. And it is the most fun I have. I have to tell you that it's just great. I get to play the greatest music that was ever recorded. And we do the costumes, we do the different eras, the whole nine yards. Great fun.
It's the hair. We were commenting on the hair earlier. You have all three or four hair eras there.
Yes. Yes, to do it as close to our goal is to make you feel like you're at a Beatles concert 60 years later.
You're pretty darn good. I played a clip that I found on YouTube from some gig you guys did down in Dewey, I think, a few years ago. And we had your solo for Boys, I think. So you'll have to go back and check the podcast there.
Before we go, I want to congratulate you on your wonderful career in public service and great things you've done for Philadelphia, and that you're retiring at the end of this year, which I'm sad, but I'm sure it's something that you're going to enjoy. And what do you have planned? Just hanging out and playing music?
Well, definitely going to hopefully play some more music. We're always looking for more shows. And I'm going to leave my position at the Visitor Center. It's been 13 wonderful years there. Just great memories. But I do want to stay active, so I will. I'll look for something part time. Who knows? Maybe I'll be a greeter at the link. Something that keeps me involved in the community. But I definitely want to stay active, and play music and enjoy my grandkids and stay active. But thank you for the kind words, Lou. I really do appreciate that.
Well, thanks for all you've done for the city. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's legendary official greeter. Hi, welcome to Philly. Hi, welcome to Philly. Hi, welcome to Philly. An economic driver, Jim Corrado, also known as Ringo and the Beatles. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything. And thanks for being on the Museum of Sports.
Thank you, folks. Very much appreciate the time.
Good seeing you, Jim.
Hey, when we come back, our own King of Sports Collectibles, when the Museum of Sports show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatchi is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatchi, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034. Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Maniunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun. Every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
We are back on the Museum of Sports show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live on the Museum of Sports Facebook page. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. Susan's off this week. Nick, I know you guys are doing a huge fundraiser. Lou's going to be kind of, I guess, working along with you guys. Coming up on the 20th at a place down in Turnersville. Lou, I know you wanted to kind of walk through some of that.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the Depatchi Museum, which will be opening around the end of the year. A museum about 5,000 square feet, and Dr. Depatchi will be able to finally get some of the stuff out of his dining room and and his office. And I mentioned to Mrs. Depatchi, the Marilyn, who's the adult in the room, I said, well, now you'll be able to cook. She says, I don't want to cook. I'm not going anywhere near the kitchen. So she doesn't care about that. But it's wonderful. And you've got an all-star lineup of Harold Carmichael, Bill Berge, Dave Schultz, Bernie Perron. And I think you've got a wonderful MC. What's his name? Gargano, Anthony Gargano.
Oh, Gargano, yeah.
Right. And there's the, for those of you watching on Facebook, there's the flyer. And of course, Joe Conklin is going to wrap things up, and he'll have people falling in their pasta. He's so funny. And you and I were talking earlier today about what kind of memorabilia might be shown that night, because years ago, we did a big meeting at the Wells Fargo Center to introduce the museum idea to some people. And your curator, Eric Katz, and your dad brought some amazing things over. So I don't know if you had a chance to look and see what might be brought over, but I have a couple of ideas. Have you had a chance to talk about that at all, Nick?
Yeah, and I brought stuff. I'm the one who did all the lifting for that, so I brought stuff over too. But yeah, that's a good idea to have memorabilia displayed there. I told Lou we weren't sure yet because we were debating it this morning, and Lou, you said the perfect thing. It would definitely add to the experience. So I think we should obviously do it. Now, do you have any recommendations?
Well, I do. I think you should concentrate on the Philadelphia stuff right now with the teams being so hot. Of course, have something from Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio or Joe Louis or whatever, but Joe Frazier. But some of the things you brought to Philadelphia for that exhibit, In fact, it was so impressive that Ed Snyder said to me afterwards, how long is that going to be here? I said, that was just for today's meeting. He said, oh my gosh, that stuff, you should set it up for a week. It's wonderful. Well, you had a Connie Mack's jacket. You had Will Chamberlain's Overbrook jacket. You had what's hanging behind me, one of the Concrete Charlie's uniforms, number 60, Chuck Bednarik, and some other wonderful trophies, incredible trophies. So I think concentrate on Philadelphia stuff. Go back because it's the Phillies, or hopefully they'll still, I don't know if they'll still be playing by then, but certainly the Sixers will and the Flyers will. Go back to the Bernie Parent days and the Stanley Cup, anything Philadelphia, and some things that people, because I don't, you remember the big press conference we had a few years ago down at the Jetro building, and you brought tons of stuff, and that's all the people wanted to see and take selfies with. So if your dad needs convincing, I'll be happy to convince him.
Well, he just crashed the party over here.
Hey, Dad.
Hi, Doc.
Just talking about, you got to bring some great stuff to your dinner.
I got Jesse Owens' running shirt. Is that a great piece?
But he wants,
that would qualify.
Yeah, 1936 Olympics, where Hitler got his nose thumbed at, and Jesse Owens ran and won and infuriated Adolf. I'd definitely bring that.
But I got the actual shirt when he ran for Ohio State before he went to the Olympics. It's photo matched and everything comes out of his house.
Really?
That are history that people need to read about and see.
Oh, my goodness.
But see, I'm afraid to bring the trunks of Ollie and Fraser from the fight of the century. I have those trunks because if someone steals them, they're irreplaceable, you know?
Well, I'll wear them.
Oh, my word. That image.
And something that people can touch, actually hold like a bat, Jackie Robinson bat, or Joe DiMaggio bat. That's people that would be thrilled to do that.
You know what I was thinking, Lou, too, just after our great show last week with Ray Dittinger, you have a crucial piece of his history in your collection there. And if your daughter can get that zipper fixed, maybe the portable Ray Dittinger typewriter that was from his first job in print.
There it is, right here.
Many
Ray Dittinger's personal typewriter.
Can't get at it because the zipper's jammed. Neat things like that. He wrote several books on that. But you guys have a wonderful arrangement there, Nick. And this is hopefully going to bring a lot of folks out. And it's at, where is it? Scarpinato's in Turnersville, right?
Yes, on Fries Mill Road in Turnersville. It's a great restaurant, and it's got a lot of space, which we need to hold this event. Hopefully, we hope we can get a good turnout, because unfortunately, it takes resources to get the museum running, and that's why we're doing this. And hopefully, with the public support, we can get the museum off the ground.
That's fantastic. And as I say, it'll be kind of a surprise and a mixed bag as to what you'll have there. Lou will port the typewriter down there. Lou, you can bring your Concrete Charlie jersey too.
There's one person Lou didn't mention that's on the flyer. The Geeter with the heater.
Oh, that's the Geeter, right. Yeah. The heater. Yeah, Jerry Blavitt, having a little health issue right now, I heard. But if everything's good, he'll be there, and he'll liven things up. And now there'll be some other surprises there too. It's 6 to 10 p.m. at Scarpinato's on Fries Mill Road in Turnersville, New Jersey, I can't see the bottom of the.
Tax deductible
the flyer to say how you get tickets, but yeah. can you move that up a little bit or down so we can see the bottom of it?
The bottom of it, I think. Yeah, and is there a like a contact or a link or something?
That's
like that?
That's what I'm looking for at the bottom. Yes, yeah.
I'll post it on the Museum of Sports page. It's because it is on our Facebook page for Depache Museum, but I'll post it on the Museum of Sports page as well under the comments.
Okay. All right. That's
yeah, and I scrolled it up there. It's you can call 856-340-3355, 856-340-3355 for tickets, or you can also email Jinxer. That's an interesting. Whose email is that? Jinxer.
That's the name of Don Pennock, who's
oh, gotcha.
That's his cat's name, I believe.
Oh. So J-I-N-X-E-R, Jinxer 33 at Comcast.net. J-I-N-X-E-R 33 at Comcast.net. And we'll I'll just leave this up for the remainder of the segment for those yeah. watching on Facebook Live.
If you call Don Pennock, I can't see the number now.
Yeah, it's this 856-340-3355.
Yeah, you'll get personal treatment. He'll make sure you get your tickets. And it is a tax-deductible contribution to the Depatchi Museum. So it's going to be a great night. I hear the food. And guess what? Includes open bar. Open bar.
Yahoo. and cops for the Museum of Sports Show staff, did you say, Nick?
I'm working on that. Harold Carmichael is going to be inducted by the Depatchi Museum as its first Hall of Fame member.
Bravo, bravo.
He's going to receive a trophy, and Anthony Gargano will, and you'll be able to meet and greet, get autographs from all these guys. It'll be fun.
Do you have any Harold Carmichael stuff in the collection, Nick?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have his jersey, yes.
Oh, wow. And Bill Burge?
Bill Burge, I do not believe, is represented in our collection. We'll have to get a Bill Burge piece of memorabilia, perhaps from him directly.
And how about Schultz?
Oh, Schultz, we got all the Flyers, all the Broad Street Bullies. We got all of their jerseys, their sticks, some of their helmets. We're well represented with the Broad Street Bullies.
How about the Geeter? Any Geeter stuff in there?
we got the man himself. I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah, he's just going to be enshrined right there.
Is he game used?
Oh, yeah. For years, yeah.
Yeah,
and he's been a friend of our families. My father and him go back a long time. So it will be great to have him here. Like you said, God willing, his health is okay. But he's in good spirits, and he keeps working. He's one of the hardest working men in show business.
He's 104 now, but he looks 20.
Stop it. He's wonderful. Last time I saw him was in the bar, the Old Palm. I was meeting my daughter there, and all of a sudden I hear the Shimel, and Geeter is holding court up at the bar, and I'm like, oh my God, you're everywhere.
So, he really is.
Hey guys, that's all the time we have for this week. I just want to remind everybody about the big fundraiser November 20th for the Depatchi Museum of Sports Library and Learning Center. It's going to be an evening hosted by Joe Conklin, guest appearances by Harold Carmichael, Bill Burge, Dave Schultz, Bernie Perrant, Jerry Blavitt, Anthony Gargano. It's going to be Sunday, November 20th, down at Scarpinato's on Fries Mill Road in Turnersville. You can call for tickets at 856-340-3355, 856-340-3355. We want to see you out there. It's going to be a great evening, and it benefits the museum. We want to thank all of our guests, the voice of every Philly stadium, Mr. Dan Baker, Philadelphia's legendary official greeter, Mr. Jim Corrado, and of course, our king of sports collectibles, Mr. Nick DePaccia Jr. And don't forget to buy Lou's new book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Available anywhere fine literature is sold. And Lou, if you go on the website at themuseumofsports.org, Lou will send you a personally autographed copy with whatever your inscription will be. Portion of the proceeds benefits the museum. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by the Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. And for Lou Scheinfeld, Susan Baxter, Nick DePaccia Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says, Lou.
These are the good old days.
These are